I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the Statman Dave Football Podcast. This is episode 27. Cracking. Let's get this party started. So on today's episode, we're going to talk the news. There's a lot of news to get through today with a lot of things happening on the 21st of March. Then we're going to move on to a bit of Nagelsmann's Hoffenheim and then finish off with a bit of La Liga chat review of the season so far. So stay tuned for all of that glorious action. So let's start with the news first up. There was some breaking news this afternoon as West Ham United declared their interest in signing Wayne Rooney if he leaves Manchester United in the summer. That was reported by Sky Sports, and you know those guys normally get it right. So it's an interesting one for West Ham, who have struggled to find a striker to score consistent goals for them. You know, their top scorer over the last few seasons has been Andy Carroll with 20 goals in the last three seasons. But unfortunately, he's been, you know, taken down by injury each one of these seasons. You know, he hasn't even reached the 10-goal mark. So it's an interesting one. There's been players that are brought in that haven't really worked out. And their top scorer last season, from the start of last season, sorry, is Mikel Antonio with 17 goals, who's been playing right wing. He's been playing a little bit up front and been playing right back. So it's an interesting one for West Ham United. Definitely a problem they need to address. Wayne Rooney could be that man, could fit in quite nicely to West Ham United and Bilic if he wants to leave. But he has obviously declared his interest in moving back to Everton. So it could be an interesting one for Wayne Rooney in the summer, where to go. And of course, Manchester United need to replace the England international, which is so exciting for United fans. And with Antoine Griezmann scoring a goal and getting another assist at the weekend, both coming from set pieces, in fact, which is quite interesting, replicating the great David Beckham at Manchester United for Atletico Madrid, obviously. So it could be an interesting summer for United fans. Moving on to other Manchester United news, Bastian Schweinsteiger has joined Chicago Fire. You know, leaving the club after two seasons where we didn't really see the best of Bastian Schweinsteiger. We saw an older Schweinsteiger. We saw a Schweinsteiger that is coming towards the end of his career, and a move to the MLS is probably a good thing for the German international. The tempo will be a lot slower in terms of the injuries and the season and so forth. Will be a bit easier on his body and so forth. In terms of the reception he's got at Manchester United, it's a bit of an odd one. It's a very positive reception. Obviously, he's a football legend, but for Manchester United, when you've got players like Marouane Fellaini getting booed and Bastian Schweinsteiger held as a hero, it confuses me when, you know, what Marouane Fellaini's done for Man United. You know, we forget that he scored some really vital goals in the run to win the FA Cup last season, the goal in the quarterfinal, the winner against Everton. Against West Ham, the first goal against Everton in the semi-final, of course, a knockdown for the first goal in the final. So there was some big impact from Marouane Fellaini. So please, Marouane Fellaini, not Football Deutscher Meister Bastian. It's a great song. I think that's the problem. The Schweinsteiger song is just better than the Fellaini song. And unfortunately, poor old Fellaini, you know, it's not good enough. But anyway, in other news, Francesco Totti has been offered a six-year deal to stay on as Roma as a director, which is great news for a Roma legend. You know, a guy that had offers from Real Madrid in his peak and could have moved there, but stayed to become this hero figure at Roma. And hopefully, you know, we can do a good job at being a director. Moving on to other news, Spanish papers are reporting today that La Gazette has made a verbal agreement to join Atletico Madrid if their transfer ban is ended this summer, which could be a really interesting proposition, having the likes of La Gazette, Gamero, and of course Antoine Griezmann, if he doesn't move to Manchester United, would be a pretty dangerous front three in world football and could get Atletico back to the Champions League final once again. The Bild is reporting that Arsenal and Juventus are after Goretzka, the Schalke central midfielder. I'm a big fan of Goretzka. Whenever I've seen him when he's been fit and not injured, he's got a slightly dodgy injury record, so it wouldn't be too great for Arsenal, you know, considering the past their injury records and so forth. But he's a very technically very gifted player, great eye for a pass, works very hard, physical. He's got everything that you'd need to be a top-class central midfielder. In other news, Asmir Begovic started his own rival podcast, the Statman Dave Football Podcast. But is it based on sport, not just football? It's an interesting move. You know, I thought this podcast has been successful so far. Begovic, a new contender into the ring. So hopefully, you know, I can deal with his impetus from the start. But anyway, I'm not backed by a production team. It's just me, the Statman Dave. Of course, Lawrence McKenna in the background, deep line playmaker. We've also got to give him a shout out because he is a fantastic fella and been great help so far, adding the jingos to the Statman Dave Football Podcast and doing some cracking editing all round. Still going with the news, guys. This news has been lasting a bit too long for today for me. Mourinho, just having a bit of fun with the German league, talking about Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. Do you know when Bayern start winning the title each year? In the summer, when they buy Borussia Dortmund's best players. A stab at the Bundesliga from Jose Mourinho. You know, he's probably got more important things to worry about right now. Probably having a little bit of a break over this international break. And to finish things off, Joey Barton on N'Golo Kante. Something I can actually agree with. His quotes for pundits, he's the best midfielder in the world. That's not true. He's very good, but I played against him 3 weeks ago. He's a great destroyer who can play in a great team, but he's not a creator. It's impossible to be so definitive for a player who hasn't played in the Champions League yet. I can't agree more with Joe Barton. And N'Golo Kante is a brilliant destroyer, a brilliant recycler of the ball. I think that's something that Joe Barton probably missed on as well. He's really good at recycling it, getting the possession going again, but he's not a creator. And unfortunately, that doesn't, you know, that rules him out as being the best midfielder in the world. Because for me, a best midfielder in the world has to be complete. He has to be able to do everything. Someone like Thiago, someone like Toni Kroos, let's say, someone like maybe even Casemiro is becoming that, you know, after his performance against whoever they played at the weekend, Athletic Bilbao. There we go, it's come, lads, it's come, and ladies, obviously. But anyway, the final bit of news is Julian Nagelsmann has won the German Coach of the Year at just 29 years old after leading Hoffenheim from the relegation zone to the Champions League places. So on to our talking point. Of course, it's got to be at Nagelsmann, the youngest coach ever to be named German Coach of the Year. An incredible achievement from the 29-year-old. Nagelsmann took over in Hoffenheim when they were deep in relegation. They were 17th in the Bundesliga table, only had 14 points on the board and picked up 2 wins. They were 5 points off the relegation playoff position. In the Bundesliga, obviously, the bottom two clubs get relegated and the team that's in 16th goes on to a playoff against the team from the Bundesliga 2 to see who goes up and who goes down. So, you know, teams like Hamburg in recent years have really battled back in those games, in the playoff games, to survive season after season. But yeah, Hoffenheim was a really difficult challenge for Nagelsmann to take over. But in fact, he absolutely excelled. Since taking over that season, Hoffenheim went up 10 positions in the league. That is an incredible achievement. And they finished the season around mid-table. But his record was decent. They won 7 games in the Bundesliga, drawing twice and losing 5 games, but picking up 23 points, which is pretty incredible. If you take that time since he took over as manager the 10th of February in 2016 to right now, only Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund have won more points than Hoffenheim. In terms of the rankings, obviously Bayern at number 1, 97 points they've taken, Dortmund on 79 points, and then Hoffenheim on 68. The next team below that is Bayer Leverkusen on 59. So that is the achievement that he's already got so far. In terms of his career, Nagelsmann played at youth level for 1860 Munich and Augsburg before persistent knee injuries ended his career at under 19 level. He then went to university doing a business course before moving to sports science. He then moved on to coaching, returning to Augsburg, his former club, to work briefly under Thomas Tuchel, obviously the Borussia Dortmund manager now, probably one of the Bayern Munich bosses in the future. He was assistant coach in the 2012-13 season before taking the club's under-19s. During his time as the under-19s coach, they were very, very successful, won the Bundesliga at that level, and were just all-round destruction machines. Players like Amiri, who play in the Hoffenheim side now, were in that team. But anyway, Huub Stevens was manager of the season that Nagelsmann took over and resigned due to bad health on the 10th of February. Nagelsmann did take over. He was in fact supposed to take over in the summer with Huub Stevens taking Hoffenheim through until the end of that season, and then he was supposed to step in. At 28 years old, he was the youngest ever Bundesliga manager. And then obviously from that, Hoffenheim went from strength to strength. You know, a combination of great positional play, great tactics, counter-pressing, classic German traits that we see in world football right now. How Hoffenheim set up, they set up in a 3-5-2 that, when they have the ball, looks a little bit like a 3-6-1 with the two central midfielders really getting into the advanced areas, looking to get into number 10 and opening up those passing lanes out of their back three. In terms of Hoffenheim, they're a very vertical team. They do look for those flat passes into the attacking area, into the opposition's space in between their midfield and their defence. And they love to jump into that space. Players like Kramaric, Amiri, Demirbay all like to operate in that zone, getting into that space, looking to play those forward passes to their teammates, either the wing backs have got ahead of them or, you know, Wagner, their striker. But in terms of their setup, Oliver Baumann does play in goal. He's a keeper that's sort of really progressed his game under Nagelsmann in terms of his ball playing. He's regarded as one of the best in Germany, a really good shot stopper as well, and pretty much for me would really fit Pep Guardiola's Manchester City, because he is that complete keeper, can sweep off the line, you know, can play with the ball at his feet, can play those passes to teammates. So it's a really good base from the back with Oliver Baumann. Their back three consists of Niklas Schüle, Vogt and Hübner, make up a pretty decent three in terms of their ball playing, very good. It all comes from Niklas Schüle, who in fact broke up to records last week, completed 140 passes with a 97% completion rate, shows his quality on the ball. Into central midfield, Ruddy plays defensive midfield behind a midfield four. It's sort of a 3-5-2, but obviously the defensive midfielder sat in there. He plays a vital role in the team. In terms of right wing back, we've got Kaderbeck, who usually plays an interesting role, very positionally aware, knows when to come inside to open up the space if one of the forwards has pulled wide, or the outside centre-back, usually Niklas Schüle, is pulling wide. He'll move into that inside space to keep that balance on the axis, the vertical axis, to open up those passes into central midfield. On the other side, it's either Toljan or Zuba. Zuba is more of a, you know, attacking option. Has played a little bit more than Toljan for Hoffenheim this season. That's at left wing back. And two central midfield, Demirbay and Amiri, both very technically gifted central midfielders who play very interesting roles in this side. Up front, usually going with Kramaric, ex Leicester City, and Wagner, who is just pretty much a, you know, your old school German striker, very good at scoring goals, puts a shift in, will work the channels very, very hard. In terms of the key components, of course, is Niklas Schüle at the back, moving to Bayern Munich in the summer because he has that quality on the ball, but also defensively has been very good this season. We already spoke about his ability to play those four passes, but it really links the Hoffenheim back and midfield when they do break into their sort of 3-6-3-1-6 shape. When they've got the ball, he's the guy that's usually finding those penetrative passes, usually, you know, hit along the ground, laser guided passes, you'd say, very good, you know, breaking teams' lines and getting Hoffenheim into that final third. And it's one of their parts of their play. You know, they can keep it short, they can shoot a can.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
pop it into central midfield for Ruddy. But then the pass move that they usually do, if Ruddy is picked up by the opposition, because he is such a vital cog to this side, it'll come back to Shula, and then Shula will bang a pass either to Kramaric, who's dropped deeper, one of the wing backs, or one of the central midfielders that has moved into a decent space. In terms of Ruddy, he's been one of the best central midfielders in the Bundesliga this season, and also is moving to Bayern Munich. And again, he is he's a deep line playmaker who roams about, looks to open up these passing lines, and sits in front of this back three in a defensive sense, to protect their transition. A great sort of an Italian way to set up when you have the ball is a three with a one in front, very structurally, very sound. And that's exactly what Nagelsmann's got this Hoffenheim team playing. But the most interesting component of this team is their central midfield. In fact, they don't sort of play as traditional central midfielders. They, in a way, play as what Guardiola would envisage as free eights, where when Hoffenheim have the ball, they do move into the sort of number 10 area. They drift vertically, they drift horizontally, just to open up these angles, open up these passing lanes and get the ball in between the lines. Both very adept, Demirbay and Arabi, are very adept at carrying the ball through the space, carrying the ball, drawing tackles in, or carrying the ball, going around players, and then working the ball to teammates. And it's the quality of both the players. It's almost like playing a number six and two number tens in these free eights that do get. Demirbay is the shining light. He's created the most chances at Hoffenheim this season, completed the most dribbles, and of course registered the most assists. But he scored some vital goals. You think of the goal that Hoffenheim scored against Bayern Munich. It was a quality goal. Amiri pushed wide, ball over the top to him, and then a lovely cut back to Demirbay, who fantastic finish into the roof of the net that got them a cracking draw away at Bayern Munich. But it was this 3-5-2 shape. In defence as well, they do a lot of the time they drop to a back five to give them that extra defensive ability. But it's all about the movement. It's all about the verticality. It's all about the positional play. You know, not having three players on the same vertical axis. You know, if a striker's pulled wide, the wing back will come in. The centre back will usually be pulled into a wide position. Or on the other way, if the wing back's out wide, the striker will come inside. Potentially, the central midfielder will be in a central zone as well. It's great movement between lines, between systems. It's really difficult to play against. In terms of their counter press, it's one of the best in Germany. So good at winning the ball back high up the pitch or forcing their opponents into mistakes. The number of goals that they've scored this season has been from high presses, either man to man or setting up a pressing trap. They love doing pressing trap, allowing either one of the fullbacks to play into that number six area for the opposition, and then they'll bang the press on. Demirbay will be very aggressive. The striker will cover the centre back. The wing back will usually cover the winger, and it's usually bang, nick the ball back, and then they'll break. And that's, they've played some real good football doing that this season. But as a side, they're so impressive. And if you haven't checked them out this year, go and check out Hoffenheim's 3-5-2 under Nagelsmann. Some top players there. Wagner, their top scorer this season. Kevin Volland was very, very good before his move to Bayer Leverkusen. But they are just a very attractive team to play, and a very interesting modern way of playing football, counter pressing, but with loads of options when they have the ball. And that is about that on Hoffenheim and Nagelsmann. But they will progress, and I fully expect them to get Champions League football this season in the Bundesliga. But anyway, moving on to our last little topic of discussion for today, and that is the review of La Liga. So La Liga this season has been dominated by Real Madrid, the Zinedine Zidane's men, top of the pile on 65 points, two games ahead of Luis Enrique's Barcelona with a game in hand. Zidane's taken this Real Madrid team and sort of moved them on. They've become a very good counter-attacking team. A lot of their play comes down their fullbacks. But arguably their best part of their team is their central midfield. Zidane set them up in a 4-3-3 in most games this season. But when they are chasing a game, they do switch that up and invert their three-man midfield from a defensive midfielder and two central midfielders to two central midfielders and an attacking midfielder. We saw that going very well against Villarreal when Zidane brought Isco on in the place of Casemiro, and Isco was so pivotal in linking that midfield and attack to get Real Madrid back into the game. But in terms of that midfield, it is the best in the world for me. Casemiro, Toni Kroos and Luka Modric. Casemiro, we pretty much spent 20 minutes yesterday talking about his brilliance against Athletic Bilbao, but he is probably the best destroyer in world football. With Kroos and Modric ahead of him, you've got the two perfect players. Kroos controlling the play, But more crucially this season, he's become a real asset from set pieces. In terms of Real Madrid, they've scored the most goals from set pieces in La Liga this season. And Toni Kroos has been vital to that, grabbing 7 assists from set pieces. And you could argue some other assists or other goals should be accredited to his balls that have been flicked on the near post and then turned in at the back post. We saw, you know, the Casemiro goal at the weekend. That was that move. So obviously the assist would go to the player at the front post. This time it was Cristiano Ronaldo against Bilbao, but it will be Kroos's ball that's whipped into the box. But also, you know, his wonderful range of passing, his ability to score goals as well. You know, the classic Kroos goals, him arriving at the edge of the area, 4 cutbacks and a simple side foot into the bottom corner makes it so easy. And the German technician has one of the best ranges of passes technique in world football right now and is a massive asset for Real Madrid. In terms of Luka Modric, the guy linking the midfield and attack, linking the balls to Gareth Bale, to Cristiano Ronaldo, to Karim Benzema, and then anyone else, you know, James Rodriguez if he's playing. Luka Modric does his busy work, you know, pressurising players, but also has great technique on the ball, ability to swivel out of the press and so forth. That, for me, is the best midfield in world football. In terms of their attacking play, they'd attack a lot through their fullbacks, and that is obviously reflected by the statistic that Marcelo has registered 7 assists in La Liga this season. That's more than any other fullback in Europe's top 5 leagues, and Carvajal as well weighing in with 2 himself. You know, a lot of the play does come with Real Madrid narrow front 3, moving together with whoever it is, Bale, Ronaldo, Benzema, and then the wing-backs will bomb on. But also Gareth Bale at the start of the season was doing really well in grabbing assists from those wide areas. And Real Madrid as a team have got the most goals from wide areas from open play in La Liga this season, with 13 of their goals coming from assists from the left and right wing. They've also scored the most goals on the counter. Something that Zidane's kind of brought to Real Madrid is Real Madrid's ability to break on teams through their fullbacks or through their wide players. You know, you've seen Cristiano Ronaldo countless times score goals from breaks, you know, him being in the right area at the right time and side-footing the ball home. But it's a feature of their play, attacking down with their wing-backs, with their wide players, but also breaking with pace. Zidane is happy to sit off teams and break. We saw that against Bilbao at the weekend, but we've seen that a load of the times before. We go back to the Champions League final. Again, the similar thing. They got the goal, they sat off Atletico Madrid, and they broke. And that is, you know, it's characteristic of this Real Madrid team. Interestingly, though, the two leagues we've touched on, the Premier League and La Liga, both of the managers that are sitting on the top, they do play a little bit of a counter-attacking style, which is, you know, reflected on how European football is moving at the moment. In terms of the massive components, we've got to talk about Sergio Ramos. You know, what a player he is. In terms of a defender, absolutely fantastic. Countless at times, he's at the top of the charts for stats, in a defensive sense, clearances, interceptions, tackles, one blocks every single game. Ramos is usually number one. But what's so important with what he's done this season is he's scored vital goals. He scored 7 goals in La Liga this season. That is, in fact, more league goals than Mesut Ozil, Paul Pogba, or Kevin De Bruyne have managed in the Premier League, considering they all play for attacking teams. That is incredible. But his goals have been massive. His first goal, probably not too massive, you know, in the 5-2 victory over Osasuna. It was a first half injury time goal. But then the next few goals have been absolutely vital. His equaliser against Villarreal got Real Madrid a point, an injury time equaliser against Barcelona, an injury time winner against Deportivo, scoring both goals against Malaga, giving them the win there, and of course the winner against Real Betis in recent weeks. Sergio Ramos's goals this season for Real Madrid have earned them an extra 9 points in La Liga. That is absolutely mental for a centre-back. That is crazy numbers. I think Zlatan Ibrahimovic's goals, when I last worked out, had got United an extra 9 points. Getting that input from a centre-back, that's incredible. And of course, it's the Kroos to Ramos play. I think that's the joint most combination of assisted to goal scorer in the league of this season. And again, it's just one of those things that they kind of have an understanding now. Kroos whips the ball in. Simple goal for Ramos. But that's their side. Of course, they've got the flair players of Gareth Bale, Cristiano Ronaldo, who's been bagging the goals. Morata, Benzema. Again, I've mentioned before how I feel Morata suits this side a little bit more than Benzema, but Zidane is sticking with Benzema. Fair play to that. He scored a good goal at the weekend and played some pretty nice passes to Ronaldo and Gareth Bale. So, yeah, he is improving and he's getting back into a little bit of form. I think he picked up an injury actually against Bilbao, so he could be out. But anyway, Real Madrid, top of the league. I fully expect them to win the title. They are favourites for me. In terms of the top 4, I don't think it's going to change. I think it's going to be Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid and Sevilla. But I think the positioning of that will be Real top, Barca second, Atletico third and Sevilla fourth. Sevilla in a little bit of a bad form. 2 wins and a defeat in the last 3 games. They lost to Atletico at the weekend with Antoine Griezmann being the main architect, setting up the first Diego Godin in goal with a brilliant whipped in ball and scoring the second with a fantastic free kick. The third goal obviously coming from Koke and Joaquin Carrera grabbing consolation for Sevilla. But I think it's could be back to the drawing board for Sampaoli in the summer if he does stay at Sevilla and doesn't move to Barcelona. To get a little bit, you know, they've looked a little bit out of steam in the last few weeks, maybe adjusting the approach. In terms of MVP for La Liga, it's got to be Sergio Ramos. The stat I mentioned before, Real Madrid getting an extra 9 points with Ramos's goals is absolutely incredible. And his all-round play has been fantastic this season. So yeah, Ramos definitely MVP. In terms of the hot prospect, it's got to be Samuel Umtiti. He's played 17 games this season in La Liga for Barcelona and they've won 17 times. And what he did in that PSG game that wasn't in La Liga was incredible, but that's been reflective of his play this season. A great ball player, great at bringing the ball out the back. Those laser guided passes into central midfield are just absolutely fantastic, but more importantly linking with Neymar. This sort of moves us on to our breakout player. I'm going to give it to Neymar, Barcelona's man. Obviously it's a bit of a shock, you know, it's not his first season that he's been performing massively, but it's his breakout season and becoming Barcelona's playmaker. He's created more chances than any other Barcelona player and he's registered more assists than any other Barcelona player. No player in the league has registered more than Neymar. He's on 10 assists at the moment, so it's pretty incredible. Neymar has gone from being a fancy flair player to a player that now is becoming the focal point of this Barcelona attack. Again, moving on from Lionel Messi being the focal point in recent years to being Neymar. And, you know, we saw, again, his impact in big games this season. He's been absolutely fantastic. In terms of relegation, I don't think it's going to change. Osasuna looks so far adrift. Granada lost some big games recently against Sporting Gijón, who are also in the relegation zone that expect to go down, and Leganas. So they are definitely going to go down as well. I can't see anything changing there. The gap is a little bit too big and these teams are bang out of form. So they're going to go down for me. So that is title winners being Real Madrid and relegation being Sporting Gijón, Granada and Osasuna. And anyway, that's been that for the Statman Day Football Podcast today. That is episode 27 done and dusted. I hope you enjoyed a little bit on Nagelsmann's Hoffenheim, the La Liga roundup, and of course, the news that we had to get through. So much news, so many things happening. Anyway, tweet me at Statman Dave with some just well done, Dave. You did a good job today. And that is that, guys. See you later. Till tomorrow, over and out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.